Our text for this morning's sermon is taken from the gospel lesson with special emphasis on the following words. Jesus said, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink." This is our text. You may be seated. Dear brothers and sisters of our Lord Jesus Christ, a natural spring is found where water pressure causes a natural flow of groundwater onto the earth's surface. It bubbles up. The water that Jesus speaks of today comes to us by way of his Spirit at work through his word, and it gives eternal life. These spiritual rivers of living water from God flow down to us from the side of Jesus, who is at the right hand of God, and they spring up in the church. For where the Spirit is, there is Christ, and there is the church. In the bubbling waters of the font of holy baptism, the Spirit opened heaven to you, and God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit made his home with you. Jesus breathed his life into you there, that life that conquers death. If you remember when Jesus, after he rose from the dead, he went to the disciples in the upper room and he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." And they received his Spirit, that comfort and peace of knowing that nothing and no one could now separate them from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. They gave their lives for the faith because they knew they had the water of eternal life now, that they had the Spirit of eternal life, the Spirit of Christ, the breath of Christ. And that's what you have been given too. The Spirit blew Christ's life into you in the water and the word of holy baptism. Now, it's why you and all believers are channels of this living water to others. It comes not from you, but from God in Christ through his word and the water and the word and the bread and the body and the wine and the blood of Jesus Christ. For Jesus, it says, John says, speaking of the Spirit, right? Not of you, speaking of the Spirit, said, "Whoever believes in me, as the scriptures has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." Now, like the water pressure that causes a natural flow of groundwater onto the earth's surface, the Holy Spirit causes a supernatural flow of baptismal water bubbling up with the breath and life of Jesus Christ himself. Now, we heard about this. We heard about this outpouring in the reading from the book of Acts, that first reading for today. And we heard of many other things that happened that day, signs that the Spirit had come. Now, we must be careful not to confuse the signs of the Spirit's coming with the work of the Spirit who has come. What were those signs? Mighty winds, tongues of fire, right? And speaking in other languages. These were the signs. But as cool as those were, that's not where it's at. Because think about it. Do you remember the mighty winds that opened the Red Sea for Moses and the Israelites to go through on dry ground? It wasn't the mighty winds, but the one from whom those winds came, God, who opened a way through the chaotic waters of death so that they could get safely onto the other side. Or how about those tongues of fire? Remember the fire of the burning bush? It wasn't the fire. It was the voice of our Lord Jesus Christ in that bush, who promised to be with us always, who ultimately is the light of the world, who has opened the kingdom of heaven to us. The fire, a sign. Just like the pillar of fire that led the Israelites, right? We have a reminder of the fire all around us, right? But it's not the fire. It's the presence of God that it signifies, who's present among us through his word. And then you also have speaking in other languages. Well, we hear about that too, don't we? Where our Lord confused the languages at the Tower of Babel. What does he do now? He makes it so that we can hear in our own languages. Ultimately, we hear in the language of God about his love for us in Jesus Christ. The whole point of a sign, though, is to point to something even greater. And the something greater is what the Spirit would now do through Peter and the 11. Now, you might say, well, that doesn't seem like the something greater, but it is. It's what he would do through Peter and the 11. That's what we hear. For now, with the Spirit of the Lord poured upon them, no longer timid and frightened and confused, what do Peter and the 11 do? They stand and preach. Not their words, but the Lord's words. They stand and preach with the confidence of God himself. They stand and preach, and through their preaching, the words of the prophet Joel that we hear about are fulfilled. The Spirit of the Lord is poured out on men and women, sons and daughters, people of all ages and races, so that at the end of Peter's sermon, there is the great miracle of Pentecost. Remember what happens? 3,000 people believe and are baptized. That's what the Spirit does. Now we're in the end times. Our Lord has accomplished our salvation, the salvation of every single human being on this earth through his suffering, death, and resurrection and ascension. And as he promised, he sends his Spirit during these last times to do what? To deliver the goods. To be the divine mailman who brings us no junk mail, no bills, just Jesus and his forgiveness, his life, and peace. I don't care where you've been or what you've done. This is what the Spirit delivers in this place. This is the oasis in the desert of a fallen world. This is where you get a foretaste of the feast to come. Over there, not in the flowers, over there. Sorry, Altar Guild. But this is where it's at. This is where you have access to the source of these living waters, which flow to us from heaven. For where the Spirit is, there is Christ and there is the church. And we celebrate the day of Pentecost today, not just as an historical event, and not keeping it to repeat those signs of, what, fire and wind and tongues. No. We celebrate the day of Pentecost today because the outpouring of the Spirit that began on that day continues to this day. Now is the day of salvation. Now is the day until our Lord comes again in glory. Now is the day, and he waits to come again in glory because he wants all people to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. So the prophet Joel's promise is for us too, that through the preaching of the gospel and through the bubbling spring of holy baptism, we too are given the Spirit of the Lord who joins us to the church. For the church is not our work. This isn't a club you join. This, the fact that you are here in this place, accessing the things of God, this is the work of the Holy Spirit. This is the work of the Holy Spirit. The church is the gathering and the miracle of the Holy Spirit. And it's through the visible signs or marks of the church today, namely, the Lord's name, wherever that is confessed. Listen to what we hear. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Did you see how we have called on the name of the Lord? And what of the Lord is he here to do by his Spirit at work through his word? To save us. Wow. the sign of his name, his word, wherever the word is proclaimed, wherever it is proclaimed, there he is. There you have access to the things of God, to the spring of the waters of life, life eternal. And wherever we gather to celebrate the Lord's Supper, to feast on his body and blood, there's the church. That's the sign of something greater going on. And what's the greater thing going on? It happens through his word. This is my body. This is my blood. Greater thing going on in holy baptism? You are a child of God. And it seems like there's really nothing going on there, but the word does great things. This is the miracle that happens today, whenever and wherever we gather in the Lord's name to hear his word and to celebrate his sacraments. Now, the Holy Spirit is the breath of the Lord's word bubbling up and out with the oxygen of his life that conquers death. That's the big thing. That's the big thing going on here. For this is how our crucified, risen, and ascended Christ is still working among us today, how he sends his Spirit, forgives our sins, gives us faith, and how he quenches our thirst for life. Jesus said, did you hear him? If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. And what you drink from him will satisfy what God requires, because you drink from him the forgiveness of sins, you drink from him and receive his righteousness, so that you are now a child of God. Everything that belongs to him when you take a drink of what he gives you now belongs to you, including life in the kingdom of heaven. To us who are oppressed and dying of thirst, and we are, aren't we? To us who are oppressed and dying of thirst, we have this promise of our Lord. Listen to what he says. That Jesus, that he gives the living water of his Spirit, and that all who drink of this water will not only never thirst again, but out of their hearts will flow the living water. The water of this world does not satisfy your thirst. It never will. You'll just become thirsty again and again and again. And quite frankly, the water of this world is contaminated. You drink it and you die. Anything that comes of the world now that has fallen, you drink of it and it dies. It's contaminated. So that's not where your life comes from. It comes from God in Christ. And the well of this world, well, quite frankly, it's drying up. There will come an end to it. There'll be no more water from that well. Now, listen to what Isaiah says about the well that you've come to in this place. Listen carefully. He foretold, "You will joyously draw water from the springs of salvation." You will joyfully draw water from the springs of salvation, the water and the word, the body and blood of Jesus Christ. That's the source of this living water. That's what we're doing here today, drawing water from this spring. For where the Spirit is, there is Christ, and there is the church. Jesus came into the world to take our death so that he could give us his life. That's what it's all about. That's why we're here, to receive his life. He came and took the heat for us in our place, the heat of the law and its demands, the heat of our sin and its punishment, the heat of our iniquity and guilt. Jesus took it all into himself, upon himself on the cross, and thirsted, so that by taking our place under the law into death, he could overwhelm them with his flood, a flood of life. In his resurrection, Jesus poured out his life-giving Spirit upon us. He did this by handing over his Spirit as he breathed his last. Remember, he gave up his Spirit. For who? For you and for me. And what else? By the river of water and blood that flowed from his side. This is the water that now bubbles up in the font of holy baptism, and the blood that now fills the chalice. Jesus is the source of this living water, and all who drink of it will never, ever thirst again. Or as the hymn writer puts it so beautifully, Spirit, water, blood, entreating, working faith and its completing in the one whose death defeating life has come, and life for all. Amen. Now may the peace of God that surpasses all understanding guard our hearts and our lives in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.